Eric intentionally did not tell you he was not going to be here today, because like myself, I would not be here today. Seriously, be honest, who would not be here if you knew last week? Thank you. That's why he didn't tell you. I kept telling him, don't tell them you're not going to be here. We come here because of you, not because of anybody else. No. Yes, that's why we come here, right? Am I right? Thank you. But guys, seriously, thank you for coming out today. You didn't know Eric wouldn't be here, but for those of you who would be here because of the snow, that's awesome. You're better than me in so many ways. But it was a gift from his children that he and Tammy get away, and it was intentional that it was on a weekend, because otherwise he would not ever take a Sunday off. You know how much he loves coming to church. You know how much he loves serving you guys. You know his heart. But at the same time, sometimes we have to break his heart to get him out of here. So it was his children's intention, and it was successful, and he's mad at them, and he'll get over it, because it was non-refundable, non-negotiable. This is when you have to take it. So encourage him when you see him that it was a good thing that he was able to take a Sunday off, as much as he's not enjoying it as much as he would like to, just because that is his heart. We know that. We do love him, that it was just necessary. So thank you, Kaylin and Mauricio, for doing that intentionally. But again, we are blessed this morning to have Tony Shaver here. He is the pastor at Johnstown Christian Church. His wife and child, Evie, couldn't be here. His wife's Courtney, and Evie couldn't be here. Evie has the flu, unfortunately. So they're back in Johnstown, but he's being taken care of at his home church by Jeff. Jeff Perry, which many of us know. Jeff is filling in for Tony. Tony did not let his church know he was not going to be there today either. So these pastors are starting to learn the hard way. It's like, it's okay. Don't tell them. Otherwise, we'll not be there. So without further ado, thank you very much for being here, guys, today. And Pastor Tony's going to come up here and share a message with you. Please be respectful. Receive what he has to say. Love you, Pastor Tony. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning, New Hope. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, wow. Be respectful, yeah, just don't throw anything. That's all I ask. I am so glad to be here. Welcome to 2019. Huh? Are you glad you made it? Yeah. I am too. I'm so pumped to be here. I love you guys. Man, I tell you what, I have to pause just and tell you that from my heart, I'm overwhelmed by the spirit of worship that is in this place. And I thank the Holy Spirit and God who definitely is invited here, you know. And so as you guys worship, I want to thank you for allowing me to participate with you all, and that you guys have. Thank your worship team often for the work that they put into, because it does not come easy, and it is intentional that they create an environment for you to come into the presence of God. And so do that. Speaking of giving thanks, wow. I love your pastor and his bride. They are sweet like a cherry treat, as I say, you know. And I tell you what, I get exhausted hearing all of the things that Eric and Tammy are involved in, and the way that they love this church, and the way that they love God and God's Word and this community and all that they do. So thank God, thank them often for what they do, because it is great. Well, before I jump into the message, let me go ahead and pray to center our hearts and our thoughts toward the throne of God. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you that I'm privileged and humbled and honored to stand up here proclaiming your word, Lord. I pray that they will see you and only you. Forgive the sinner, for his sins are many. And as we speak, Lord, Holy Spirit, do what you do best. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. How many here made New Year's resolutions? Yeah? How many don't even bother? Yeah, I tell you, I'm going to move this up here for a second. Well, for those who did, I hope that they are going well. I read an article just the other day that said that New Year's resolutions, the same type of resolutions are made year after year. And let me just give you a couple of those. I know we're a few weeks into the New Year's, but stick with me. I have a method to my madness here. Couple of them that they mention. Lose weight, get healthy. Top of the list, right? Get physically fit, better shape. Reduce debt. Start saving. What is that? Huh? Quit a bad habit. Improve life by making changes or simplifying things. Here's the interesting thing about this article. They said that these resolutions are being made year after year, but what the interesting part is they're being made by the same people year after year. 80% of the people who make resolutions break them by the end of January. What? They need to hit a reset button on their resolutions and in life. Question to you, question to me, question to us all. How many here perhaps needs a reset button in your life? When I was a kid, there was a gaming system. This has been about 30 plus years ago. It was called the Nintendo. I have a picture of it. Here's the Nintendo. You see that? Anybody remember that? That was my jam when I was a kid. Super Mario Brothers, you know, Duck Hunt, all of those things. It's interesting about this game. There's a couple things. One of them, it was amazing, where if it started getting glitchy or getting frozen, you would take the cartridge out, and then you would tap it, blow in it, and you know what generation a person is in is when they use duct tape and blowing in things to try to fix them. Put it back in, and it starts working. But what was really cool about the Nintendo system is right next to the start button was this button. Let's go to get a closer look. If you can see that, it was a reset button. Reset button. You're playing the game, right? And it's not going well. You're down the last man. You're like, oh, this is not going. Reset. And it takes you right back to the beginning of the game again. Right back to the beginning. And you're playing as if it was a new beginning, a new game. It was a great feature, the reset button. What areas in your life do you need to hit reset? Keep that question in mind because we're going to come back to that later. Because all of us would love to have a reset button for the boneheaded decisions that we make in our marriages. There are times where you just want to hit reset in your parenting. Anyone? Yeah, the other day I was going loopy with what Evie was doing, and I was just kind of like, I don't want to be this kind of parent. Reset. I am my parents. Reset. Pet sins. Pet sins that just keep returning over and over and over again, and you just hit reset. Not again. Reset. Wouldn't it be nice to have a reset button in life? Here's the good news, and here's what I want to share with you this morning. There is a spiritual reset button. Did you know that God was the inventor of reset? God was the inventor of the reset button. Even before Adam and Eve were in the garden, before creation was made, God put into place a plan for reset. Because he knew that we're going to need a reset. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And for all who would follow in their footsteps, sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How do we get this? Look at Romans 5, verse 2. When Adam sinned, the entire world was affected. Sin entered human experience, and death was the result. And so death followed this sin, casting its shadow over all humanity because all have sinned. In other words, when Adam sinned, everyone who came after him was born into that nature. The Bible calls it the sin nature. There's just something hardwired in me and you, and we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. Know the difference? It's in our DNA. There was an article in Psychology Today that said, it was called, the title of it, "My DNA Made Me Do It." This is kind of a popular trend these days, blaming things on your DNA, but if you really step back and you look at it from a biblical worldview, there is a lot of truth in that. Our sin nature is inherited from our dad Adam and our mom Eve. We all struggle with sin. There is this appetite for a struggle, a certain sin hardwired. And we need a reset. Off. The beauty is, like I said, God is the inventor of reset. And God has this reset plan to restore and to reset us back into life, back into what was intended. And his reset plan was his son, Jesus. We sang about that this morning. Jesus and the blood of Jesus is the plan of resetting. Some of you really need to hear this. Because far too long, you've been trying in your power and in your effort over and over this religion instead of relationship, saying, oh, I need to do better. I need to do better in my power, in my effort. If I only do this, if I only did that, and you find yourself like on a hamster wheel over and over and over again, and you just kind of like, I can't do it. You're right. Jesus, you and I cannot reset ourselves. We don't have that kind of power. But look at this. In Jesus is the power to reset. In Jesus is the power to reset. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Look at this. This is good stuff. For God made Christ, who never sinned, in other words, he does not have that sin nature in him. The DNA is not sin, but the DNA is holiness, purity. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the sin offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. I'll give you a Pentecostal Baptist shouting spell right there if you really absorb that. Colossians 1, verse 20. And by the blood of his cross, whose cross? Jesus's. Everything in heaven and in earth was brought back to him, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. Reset. Verse 21. Even though you were once distant from him, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions, he reconnected you back to himself. He released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as a sin payment on your behalf, so that you would dwell in his presence. And now there is nothing. There is nothing between you and Father God, for he sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. Let that absorb into yourself. Marinate on that this week. Jesus is our reset. When Jesus said, "It is finished," and he died on the cross, that divine reset button was pushed for all of creation. In other words, the payment for sin was paid for. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. When Jesus said, "It is finished," paid for, done. What you did yesterday, what you do today, what you do tomorrow, paid for, canceled, debt is paid. He paid the penalty for sin. He paid the penalty for sin. And when his body began to breathe again and he walked out of that tomb, not only did the payment of sin was covered, the power of sin was covered. The power of death and sin. The Bible says, "Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, sin, where is your sting?" It was swallowed up when Jesus walked out of the grave. The payment of sin was paid for. The power of sin was covered and reduced and eliminated, which leaves the presence of sin. How many here still experience the presence of sin in your life? That will be covered when he returns as King and King and Lord of Lords. Right now, the payment of sin is covered, the power of sin is covered, but the presence of sin will be done away with. Come, Lord Jesus, come. In Jesus is the power to reset. But not only reset, in Jesus, we get an upgrade. We get an upgrade. Let me. You know, in your phone or your operating system on your computer, you know, there's always an upgrade. There's always a point something. There's always, it's bigger, it's better, it's faster, it's an upgrade. More expensive. When we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, when we believe and place our faith in accepting him as our Lord and Savior, we receive a life that is superior to what was lost through Adam. Not only do we get a reset, we get an upgrade. Look at this. Those in Christ have a new life. Those in Christ have a new life. The sad epidemic of the church, I believe, in our day is we do not believe that. Because our thoughts, our actions, our speech, our behaviors, our attitudes do not reflect that. Claim this verse this year, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Write it down, put it on your mirror, staple it to your head, whatever you need to do. 17, here it is. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. When we become to know Jesus, the Bible says we receive a new life. The old life is gone. God makes all things new. It's an upgrade. It makes the old to be gone with, and it's new. God told the prophet Ezekiel, he says, I am going to give a new heart and a new spirit. Because of what Jesus did on the cross and when he walked out of the grave and when he ascended back into heaven, sitting at the right hand of God, he gave the gift of the Holy Spirit to live and to operate in the lives of the believer so that we may live in a new life, that we can live in being a new creation. So that we can experience, even through the chaos and tragedy of life, a peace that passes understanding, a joy despite our circumstances, a hope that goes way beyond our present reality. Not only through Jesus do we have a reset, we get an upgrade. We become a new creation. The old is gone, the new is replaced, and we are in Jesus, and Jesus is in us. And this is what I love. God the Father, when he looks at you, the believer in Jesus Christ, does not see the old Adam, the old Tony, the old Eric, he does not see that. What does he see? He sees his son. My uncle raises sheep. And if you know anything about sheep, there's a few things. They're dumb as a box of rocks. And number two, when they have the young, their babies, they're all identified by smell. And if their baby is there, it's safe, it's nurtured, it's cuddled. But any other sheep that comes around, any other baby sheep that comes around, if it comes up to a sheep, what will happen is that mother sheep will either kick it away or kill it. So this is what happened to one of the sheep. And the mama sheep was just, bah, bah, I miss my baby, bah. And one of the baby sheep's moms died. So it was going, meh, meh, I want my mama. So what my uncle did was it took that baby sheep who had no mama and took that dead baby sheep, cut the skin off of that dead baby, and placed it over, covered that new baby, and placed that baby in front of the mom who had just lost a baby. All it could smell was its baby. Because it now had covered. You see where I'm going with this? God. when he looks at us, he no longer sees the sin of us, but those who are in Christ, he sees his Son. He sees his Son. I am no longer defined by my past. I have a new identity. In the Los Angeles Times, there was this article about Father Greg Boyle. Have anybody ever heard of him? Father Greg Boyle. He runs a ministry there in East LA, and he does various ministries to help gang members or ex-gang members to get out of the gangs. And he has done over 200 gang-related funerals. And so one of the ways that he thought, I got to find a way of these boys to get out. And he noticed that all of these gang members are wanting to get out of the gangs had all of these gang tattoos all over him. So he started talking to a bunch of doctors about laser tattoo removal. And so he opens up this ministry. Anybody who wanted to get their gang tats removed could come in and get it removed. And the crazy thing about it is there was a list of over 1,000 people wanting to get their name, those tats removed. Why? It's because those tats were a reminder of who they belong to, who they associated with, who owned them. And they no longer wanted that to be the case. And so they would go and they would get those tattoos removed so that they could have a fresh start, a new life, a new identity. Because of these constant reminders, and when other people saw them, they would automatically label them. And so they were desperate to get those tats removed. Some of you have those type of reminders in your life. It might not be in the form of a tattoo. It could be in the reminder of past choices that keep haunting you, toxic relationships that keep invading your space, your hurts, your habits, your hang-ups, and the devil reminding you over and over and over and over again, this is who you are, this is what you've done, how can God love you, how can the accuser of the brethren, as the devil is called in the Bible. And Paul was saying in this verse, say, look. Stop. Look. You're in Jesus Christ now. The old is gone. It's gone. The word old there is a Greek word from where we get the word archaeology. Archaeology. If you know anything about archaeology, there are a bunch of people who go around digging up stuff. Things that are old and buried and dead. And Paul's saying, stop digging up things, blowing off the past and trying to put it back on. Clothe yourself in Christ. But you can't really clothe yourself when you're still trying to hold on to the stench of the death. Because that is exactly what it is. It's grave clothes. When you're living and you're keeping that hanging around like a hair on a biscuit, you know, you just can't get rid of it. Yeah. I don't know where that came from. If you're in Christ, the old is gone. You've been upgraded. Let me wrap this up. What we gain in Jesus is way more than what we lost in Adam. If you want to live in that upgrade, it starts here. Starts in your mind and your thoughts. Believing what the Word of God says about you. Believing what God has to say about you, not the world has to say about you, not the mirror that says about you, not the devil that says about you, but what the Word of God says about you. Take what the promises of God has to say about you. Get into the Word. Understand what you are as a new creation. Allow that to absorb your mind and then your heart and then your attitude and then your speech and then your actions. Starts in the mind. Be confident of who you are in Christ, not because of your power, but what He has already accomplished. That's where your identity is, and that's where your eternity lies. Have hope in that. It's a living hope. Kyle Eidelman, he's a pastor in Kentucky, and he puts it this way. We are not who we were, but we're still becoming who we are. The old life is gone, but we're still becoming who we are. That we have this new life given to us in Christ. He gives this big churchy word. It's called, that's justification. Just as if I never sinned. But we're still being, here's another big churchy word, sanctified. What does that basically mean? That we're still becoming who we are in Christ. That is a journey that we're all on. Nobody has arrived yet. Until you take your last breath and stand into the glory and the presence of God, you're going to be on this journey. Give yourself a little bit of grace. God has. For some of you, you have been trying over and over to live life on your own power. It's time you stop, hit reset, and say, game over on self. I am going to live in Christ as Christ lives in me. How do you do that? Starts by confessing. You can't solve a problem unless you identify the problem, yes? That's what confessing is. God, I realize I've messed up. I realize I'm on this journey and I'm going to be battling with my new identity and my old man. I need your help. Help me. Starts with confessing. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. In other words, you do not have to earn His approval to forgive you. You have to rest on what He's already accomplished. Confess, then repent. Repent is a weird word. There's been a lot of different ideas about what that means. Here's the bottom line of repenting. Repenting means there's a change of mind, which leads to a change of heart, which means to a different direction. I'm doing it all on my own. Oh, wait a minute, it's not on my own. I cannot do it. I need Jesus. Need the Holy Spirit's guidance. I'm going to walk in the Spirit, and I will not satisfy the sin desires of my heart. That's what repentance is. Confess, repent, believe who you are, and act that way. In just a moment, I'm going to open up the altar. And the leaders of our church are going to come. And I'm going to sing a song. And as I sing this song, I want you to respond, if you need a reset, whether if you are somebody who has not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I've got good news for you. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, it says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. For in just a moment, we're going to give you that opportunity. If you have not yet declared Jesus is Lord, I cannot do it on my own, I need his power, I need his new identity, I pray that you come up and talk and confess and allow that to happen. If you are a believer and you've tried to do it all in your own power, stop. Hit reset. And if you need prayer and strength and encouragement to say, I am moving in a new direction today, I'm confessing I'm done with myself, my game is over, now I'm going to walk in Christ, I invite you as well, as I sing this song, to come forward and receive prayer and encouragement as we do that. Let me pray, and leaders, please come forward as I pray. Father God, I thank you for